Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, guys, get ready because Anthony DeMarco is about to join me for this week's What If, discussing what if WWE never went to TVPG. What would that have been like? Who would have benefited from that change? Who would have been at a disadvantage from that change? And ultimately, do we think that WWE could re-implement the TV-14 format? So we talk about that and much more right after this. Have you ever felt like there's something that you want to do, you should do, but you can't for some reason? And your inner voice is telling you, look, you gotta do it. That's how I felt with this podcast. I really did. I knew that I always wanted to podcast. I had a passion for wrestling, but there was something inside that was blocking me from doing it. Fear of failure, fear that I might sound bad on microphone. And there's all these things that I just knew that were my own creations, my own fears that were the problem. I was getting in my way. And I was doing that for years when I could have been doing what I love, had someone been there to help guide me through this. And that's where a life coach could have really been beneficial. And that's why I'd recommend a life coach to everyone listening, regardless of what you want to do in life, regardless of what your situation is, a life coach can be invaluable. And that's why I recommend Marcy Lesnick. She is a certified life empowerment coach, and she can help with things like sales mindset coaching, healthy relationship coaching, and much more. So go check out innerwarriorcoaching.biz. That's innerwarriorcoaching.biz, where you can get all this information and much more, including a video introduction of Marcy and how she can help you. So guys, don't wait another minute. Whatever's stopping you, don't let it stop you any further. Go to innerwarriorcoaching.biz.
It's time to explore wrestling's past and potential future with your weekly dose of a segment we call What If, only found here on the WWE Podcast.
It's Monday night, and that means it's time for What If with Anthony DeMarco. Another great topic on hand tonight as we discuss the unlikely scenario, but one that is definitely worth looking at in terms of WWE and their presentation of the product, their rating that changed from PG to, or rather, TV-14 to PG. And we're going to look at what if WWE never turned PG in 2008. So, Anthony, great choice on this one. I'm really excited to get going.
Yeah, man. And we were talking about right before we started recording as to when officially they've switched to PG television away from TV-14. And as you quickly checked, it was the SummerSlam in 2008 was the official first pay-per-view under that TV rating. So I guess we could kind of start right there. Like, what were the matches from then? And I guess what superstars at that time would have greatly appreciated of it remaining as TV-14?
Yeah, let's take a look at that. At that time, as I look at this here, I'm Googling as we speak, guys, because I have to offhand. I do not remember in 2008. I know obviously John Cena is at the top. Okay, so here's the card. In SummerSlam 2008, the very first time that WWE had a PG rating on a pay-per-view, the card was as follows: Big Show defeating Bam Neely. I don't remember that at all. Why do I not remember that?
Me neither.
That to me is like another world. I don't know what that is. MVP defeated Jeff Hardy. Glamorella, which was Santino Marella and Beth Phoenix, defeated Kofi Kingston and Mickie James. This was a tag team match for the WWE Intercontinental and Women's Championships in a 5-minute match, nonetheless. Matt Hardy defeated Mark Henry with Tony Atlas by DQ in a singles match for the ECW Championship in 33 seconds. That tells you what they thought about ECW. CM Punk defeats JBL for the WWE World, or rather the World Heavyweight Championship. Triple H defeats the Great Khali for the WWE Championship. Batista defeats John Cena in 14 minutes. And in the main event, The Undertaker defeats Edge in a Hell in a Cell match. Interesting that the very first pay-per-view that they do as a PG show, they have a main event of Hell in a Cell. So I don't remember if there's any blood in that, any color, but there's your lineup.
And it's crazy. I'm just looking at the mat, like the poster for this pay-per-view, and I can't tell. Oh, yeah, it's Maria on like a Sea-Doo in like leather lingerie. So I guess they hadn't completely.
Is it really
gone? Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's like Maria in like leather strapped lingerie with just a lot of cleavage. And I'm just like, I guess they weren't fully accustomed to the PG era, but like, I guess I'll just look right away at John Cena at the top of the mountain in WWE at that time. And I guess that's the first place to start because he really is like a microcosm of TV PG for WWE, right? And, you know, many people like hate on him for that. And I'm one of them that had a hard time going from The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin to what was John Cena. But I think many people forget that during the Ruthless Aggression era, when Cena was still like Doctor of Thugonomics over on SmackDown in early to mid 2003, he really knew how to push it to the absolute limit when it was TV-14 restrictions. So I think that like, had they stayed TV-14, we would have seen a whole different side of John Cena, and maybe we would have remembered him more fondly. And that's not to say that we don't remember him fondly now, because I think even if you weren't a fan of the character, you have great respect for what John Cena meant to the business. But maybe someone like you, that you have been very vocal that you had a hard time going from Austin to John Cena, but do you think had they stayed TV-14, you would have been more apt to really get behind John Cena as the character?
Probably a little. Yeah, I wouldn't have been as resistant because, as you mentioned, he was like the poster boy for TVPG. And in some ways, he still kind of is. Mr. Hustle, loyalty, respect, say your vitamins, you know, or say your prayers, take your vitamins, all the kind of kumbaya stuff that I can't stand. And I just really didn't like about John Cena, although an amazing talent. I think he is one of the greatest of all time. You could put him on a Mount Rushmore of wrestling in any conversation, but he was kind of also a victim of the times where, as you mentioned, he was actually part of the non-TV PG stuff. We all forget, like you mentioned, he was a Doctor of Thugonomics. He was edgy. I remember him slapping Stephanie's backside a couple of times. Yeah. And like, I mean, he did some edgy stuff, and he was working within the product at that time. And then he obviously exploded in 05, 06, 07. And, you know, I know we all remember him as Mr. TVPG, but there was a time when he actually had that creative freedom to be a little edgier. And to answer your question, yeah, I think it would have been an easier transition, even though he was Mr. Jorts, you know, taking all the restrictions away of TVPG. He also... he was much more clean cut than Austin and Rock were. He was Mr. kind of magazine, you know, he looked like he belonged in like a, I don't know, some kind of GQ magazine. He was too pretty, I think, at times. And so my answer is, yeah, that would have softened the blow of the transition from those mega stars to John Cena. But I mean, that's obviously not what we got, but it would have helped. Yes.
And I'm also looking at the guy who defeated him at this pay-per-view in Batista. And if I'm not mistaken, Batista said that one of the reasons why he left the company, and I believe it was 2009 that Batista left, I think in June or whatever. And I could be mistaken. Maybe it was 2010, but it was one of those years. And I'm pretty sure one of the reasons he says that why he left was because it was going away from TV-14 and towards a PG product, which he really didn't want to be a part of. And then I think of other guys who maybe walked away because of that. You know, I'm not sure if this had anything to do with CM Punk's departure, but I would assume that WWE became a way more micromanaged company when it did become a PG product. So in my head, I'm saying, did they lose a lot of guys here in Batista, maybe CM Punk and others that I'm surely forgetting along the way, because they went to a much more micromanaged product, which I'm sure has to do with the fact that now they had to make sure that everything was within the PG guidelines. So do you think that guys like Batista and CM Punk left in part because of it switching from TV-14 to PG?
So I don't think that the rating necessarily was a big reason, but you mentioned that the micromanaging likely ramped up during that time because they were trying to appeal to a younger audience. They now need to make sure that with new sponsors coming on board and everybody in the marketplace getting the heads up, hey, WWE's going PG, that opens them up to a lot more opportunity. And I know why they did it. I understand. And to some degree, I agree with them going PG to some degree, because you're a for-profit organization. You want to be able to bring in as much money as possible. That's what they exist for. They're not here out of charity. So I think that, yes, in small part to the TV rating, but really not necessarily TV rating itself, but more of what happened to the culture because of the switch, because they're now starting to really micromanage and crack down on every little nuance of their production, from the, you know, video packages to character slogans to changing John Cena's FU to the AA, and like little things like that, that they had to really weed out all of the TV-14 stuff and usher in this softer, more family-friendly product. While I'm sure stars didn't love that, it does handcuff a lot of creativity in some respects. They have to, you know, realize that this is, at the time, the only place you can go to make a whole boatload of money. Obviously, AEW was a long time from existing at this point. WCW was gone and bought by WWE. So outside of going to TNA or going to New Japan or Ring of Honor, which you're not going to make a whole bunch of money at, this was the only place to work. So I don't think it was because of that, but rather the change of culture in WWE due to the TV rating.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And that's another thing is that if you watch and study back about WWE, let's say from the Ruthless Aggression and older era, you can't imagine that it was as micromanaged as it is today. Like, I'm sure it was always a demanding profession and a demanding company, but I just don't get the feeling like it was the same negative, micromanaged, oppressive environment in a lot of ways. And I can't help but correlate the two, that it seemed to kind of transition into this era along with it going from TV-14 to PG. And for all the reasons you just mentioned, I understand that when you are a product that is weekly televised and is publicly traded and has so many sponsorships, you have to adhere to certain guidelines. And I completely understand and sympathize with where Vince McMahon and the rest of the higher up management is coming from. But I guess from like an actual on-screen perspective and along with like a backstage work environment, it feels like them going to PG and becoming, as Stephanie McMahon would love it to be, a philanthropy company in a lot of ways, I feel like it's almost worsened WWE, both from a viewer's perspective and from a worker's perspective. And I can't speak to it monetarily. And I'm sure that WWE is worth millions and millions more dollars than they were back when it was TV-14 in the Ruthless Aggression era. But like, it's just so unfortunate that like by them trying to become more family oriented and I guess more acceptable on a social platform, they've really worsened the product on numerous levels. And I guess for you, like you've been watching way longer than me. Do you see the correlation from WWE going in a negative direction along at the same time with it going PG?
It's hard to ignore the fact that things went downhill towards that time. And is that due solely to PG? No, I think, you know, there's a lot of other factors that are really part of this. And, you know, again, WWE, when you go from TV-14 to TV-PG and you have that shift in culture and that shift in focus and trying to soften things to fit a PG structure, there are going to be sacrifices that need to be made, whether that's character-wise, maybe a storyline that would have been awesome, they have to scrap and rewrite because of this new restriction. So it's weird because you're broadening your base for who would be attracted to the product, families, sponsors, it brings in more revenue in theory, but you're also... You have to realize the trade-offs of, okay, we can't do this and this now because it's TV-PG. Blood is gone. Cursing is limited to hell, crap, damn, and maybe ass every once in a while. You know, they've taken that away. And I know this seems sophomoric, but sometimes more violence during, like, a more violent match makes sense. Like, Hell in a Cell, how is there no blood now? Like, it just... I'm not being a bloodthirsty animal, but at times it's warranted. And when you don't see it, it takes away, I think. So, you know, chair shots to the head, obviously gone, but that's not really TV-14. I think that's just safety for the superstar. So that's fine. But, you know, yeah, I see the correlation of when things started to go south to when TV-PG started. And John Cena being the poster boy of that, he was really the guy. And he continues to be one of the biggest stars in wrestling, even though he's not nearly here on a even part-time basis anymore. But at the same time, can we really blame it all on TV-PG? Because you had Rock gone, Austin gone, Lesnar was gone up until he returned in 2011. We had, what, John Cena? You had Batista kind of in and out. Triple H was kind of he wasn't the same performer at the consistent level he was in the mid-2000s. So you definitely saw a decline, but I don't know if it's due solely to PG, although it could have been a contributing factor.
Well, like, I just remember Randy Orton's very good heel run, and I believe it was 2009 when he won the Royal Rumble. I believe he won the WWE Championship or retained it at WrestleMania, and then he had the run with Legacy. And the whole beef with the McMahons and him, like that cryptic image of him kissing an out-cold Stephanie McMahon with Triple H handcuffed to the bottom rope. Yeah. And in my head, I'm saying, that run was so great for Randy Orton. But imagine he was able to execute that in a TV-14 environment. And I think, like, a guy like Randy Orton, like, we already kind of talked about John Cena, but Orton in particular, I find is a guy that was so restricted because of a PG product, because of what we saw him do when it was TV-14, how gruesome and personal and just how sadistic he was. Like, I remember him, like, making out with Stacy Keibler and then RKO's her in the middle of the ring to send a message to The Undertaker or something, or punt kicking people left, right, and center. He may have started that actually in when it became PG-8 or whatever it was. But, I mean, he's just another guy to me that I feel like really suffered because of it going PG, TV-PG. And we've talked about Orton before that from, let's say, 2011 right up until probably Edge's return, he was really kind of in a black hole for a while. And I think that was in large part because of him not being able to perform and execute his character to the fullest capacity. Because Randy Orton's character was built and bred and developed in the TV-14 environment. And I think he was really molded in that environment. And then by the time 2008 comes around and he's entering his theoretical prime, they pull the rug out from under him, and now he has to dial it back and conform to the new TV-PG regulations, as opposed to a character like John Cena that they were almost able to accelerate and almost develop faster and better in that environment. So I guess for you, do you think Randy Orton was the biggest casualty of it going from TV-14 to TV-PG?
Yeah, that's Randy Orton definitely got handcuffed because of TV-14, and it would be almost like, not quite, but almost like Stone Cold existing in a PG environment on a weekly basis. You know, you are really artificially capping what that character can do when it's actually something else. You know, when Randy Orton's the legend killer and he can't be the legend killer, then calling yourself that isn't true, because you can't do it with the system you're working within. So Randy Orton was definitely hurt by it. And I remember that storyline. I remember that moment you're talking about, and the WrestleMania match that Triple H and him had, it was okay. But the problem was, and they've admitted since, is why the hell wasn't that no disqualification? Why was that a single straight up match when it was perfectly warranted that it should have been a street fight, no DQ, whatever. It's all the same. That really hurt the match. And I believe the excuse was that, or rather the stipulation was, if Randy got himself disqualified, Triple H got himself disqualified, the championship would change hands. So yeah, I understand that. Oh, Triple H is at a disadvantage. You know, he was playing the baby face. He's got to keep his cool, but we don't want to see your keep your cool. It's WrestleMania. That's not the time to do it. That was a really bad call on WWE's part, which I don't know. I don't think it had anything to do with TV-PG. You can still have a hardcore, quote unquote, hardcore match with the TV-PG environment. But anyway, yeah, definitely Randy Orton was a victim of that. I mean, Kane, who was on the SmackDown roster towards 2010, was a definitely one of the victims as well. Let's see who else. Edge is also, I think, got a bit restricted with the TV-PG. Although Randy Orton is probably number one, you have other guys that I just mentioned that I think also were hurt by it.
And that Kane's a good guy to bring up, because I kind of wanted to transition to this, because at this time in wrestling, there was about a three-year-long period where I really didn't watch a whole lot. But Kane and The Undertaker kind of reignited their program in 2009-2010, correct?
Yes.
And what was the entire thought process behind that program? And had it not been in a TV PG environment, and they could have maybe gone the way that they had in their prior rivalries when it was TV 14, do you think it would have been better? And was the Ultimate program that we got in those later years ultimately underwhelming for you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, and I remember this, I think it was Night of Champions in 2010 that they had their World Heavyweight Championship match, no holds barred. And if I recall correctly, again, it's been 11 years, but if I recall correctly, Kane was champion, and it was Paul Bearer who turned his back on Undertaker. Undertaker then, and I could be wrong on this, but he put him in like some kind of cement tube and filled the cement up. And that's,
I remember that. Yeah.
I think that was the time, you know, that's one of the times that Paul Bearer was killed by Undertaker, among a few others. And Paul Bearer, I mean, obviously he's no longer with us, but has said a couple of times laughingly that, yeah, you know, I can't remember which time that was the time, you know, which one of the times that was when he killed me, because he did it a couple of them. But, you know, he did that to Paul Bearer. I even think there was some light shining out of the urn in which Paul Bearer blinded Undertaker, which allowed Kane to retain the championship. I'm probably jumping around in terms of months in that year, but that, again, I don't remember the exact storyline of what precipitated it, but I know Paul Bearer was at the center of it, and it had Kane ultimately retain the championship. And Paul Bearer was, I guess, entombed in this concrete abyss and somehow managed to escape. But so ultimately, if 2014 was still around, I don't know if it would have been any better, only because violence wasn't necessarily what made Undertaker and Kane great. What made Undertaker and Kane great was great storytelling, because they're brothers. You know, I don't remember what made them great was, oh man, I remember when, you know, Undertaker got busted open from Kane, or this chair shot, that chair shot. They were great because the storylines were great and the acting was great, and you had emotional moments, which you can still do in a PG environment. And I don't think that was here this time. And I don't remember feeling a whole lot from that. I mean, and, you know, Kane had been unmasked and basically neutered at that point. You know, after Kane took off the mask, that's a whole nother show, but it didn't feel the same. You know, I know that they had their match in 04 at WrestleMania 20, and I was there for that, but it just didn't have that same feel, even though it was TV PG. So I actually think that wasn't necessarily affected, because they weren't built around 14. I think they were built around great storytelling. So here's something you may not be thinking about: life insurance. Why do you need life insurance? Well, I can tell you, if you have a family, there's no better thing you can do to protect yourself and your family if something, God forbid, were to happen to you, than to get life insurance. Now, I got to admit, it did take a little time for me to come around to life insurance, but I can tell you it is the best thing that I've done for my family, because it has provided me with peace of mind. Again, if something were to happen to me, who's going to take care of my family if I'm not able to? And life insurance provides that peace of mind, knowing that if something were to happen to you, your family is going to be taken care of. So who do I recommend? What do I recommend? Well, it's pretty darn simple, guys. Head on over to dreambuilderstrategies.com. That's dreambuilderstrategies.com. You fill out a quick form. You can get a quote. Don't put this off, guys. Don't put yourself or your family in jeopardy if something were to happen to you. Get that peace of mind. Head on over to dreambuilderstrategies.com today.
Welcome back to the WWE podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
And like, you bring up like Hell in a Cell matches, and you know, we're getting a Hell in a Cell match. I believe it's going to be at Crown Jewel with Edge and Seth Rollins. And I used to freak out over Hell in a Cell matches, because you just knew that it was going to be an absolute like bloodbath, for lack of better terms. Like, one of the best Hell in a Cell matches I ever saw was Batista versus Triple H at Vengeance 2005, which really kind of put a bow on their rivalry in that initial run in 2005. But you know, and I am happy that we're going to get this Hell in a Cell match with Rollins and Edge. And for once, as you always say, this is finally a program that is deserving of the Cell. It's not just a match because it's built into the schedule. But there is still a part of me that even though I'm excited for the match because they're two excellent performers, and I think that the last few months they've done brilliant work to build up this program and this rivalry, you know that it's still going to be executed inside the restrictions of TVPG. And for me, it's just so unfortunate. And I guess it's for a lot of these, you know, gimmick matches, for lack of better words, that I think have been the biggest casualty, because we know that it's not going to feel like a real fight in Hell in a Cell, because that's what it always felt like when it was a Cell 20 to 25 years ago. You always felt like, okay, this isn't going to be a match, this is going to be a fight. Or in Elimination Chamber, you knew it was always going to be a disaster. But like we've said before, the Elimination Chamber we get nowadays is almost baby-proof. Like, the outside isn't even a steel grade. It's like a padded mat. Or, like, the plexiglass is more of just a panel as opposed to what it used to be. So I guess, aside from wrestlers themselves, it is more of the matches that we used to get that just felt so awesome and so badass, for lack of better terms. Now we just see like these watered down versions of matches that we used to look forward to. And I guess the upcoming match between Edge and Rollins, like, could you imagine if that would be able to be executed inside of TV14?
Oh, if there's ever a time where they could have a pass right now from their sponsors, yeah, this would be the one get out of jail free card, you know, that they should use, because these two could absolutely brutalize each other in a safe way, without bumps, bruises, and stitches, no, but in a way that wouldn't cause real injury. They could do it to perfection, and seeing blood is, and I know people think, oh, that's so elementary, that's so, you know, you don't need blood to have a great match. Well, you know what, it adds drama, and when it doesn't happen often, it really, really can be effective in a rivalry just like this one that doesn't come along often, that is deserving of the Cell. And, you know, even though we already had a pay-per-view not too long ago for Hell in a Cell, it still feels special. Not as special as if they didn't have a damn pay-per-view for the whole thing, but rather because it was announced, and it doesn't get just announced as a stipulation very often. This is going to be, and again, I think that, yes, if it was TV14, they could do a whole lot more. Outside of maybe the wrestling gods giving us a gift of somebody accidentally getting busted open, which I always morbidly hope happens. I mean, Brock Lesnar has had that happen at WrestleMania 31 with Roman Reigns, and it was brilliant. Some people still believe that it was intentional. You know, that's up for debate. But when the wrestling gods give you a gift of blood, you take it. Now, WWE likes to pan away from it. So even if it happens, people like cover themselves. The camera angles change. The ref puts on gloves. It goes black and white. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, really. Like, they should just put a black and white Instagram filter on it at that point, because that's essentially what they do. And it's such a damn shame when they shy away from it. But I understand why they do. But as a true, like, you know, I hate to say hardcore fan, but as a retro wrestling fan, I miss that stuff. So,
and you know,
yeah, go ahead.
No, and I was just going to say, because now we get that those types of matches in AEW, right? And I guess my lasting thought about WWE going TVPG is that you opened up the door for other wrestling promotions to try and surpass you and take away the hardcore fans or the nostalgic fans like you and I. And I've always said, like, I don't think AEW would have stood a snowball's chance in hell about trying to surpass WWE had WWE never gone TVPG. Had they stayed TV14, because you know that there would be a lot of wrestlers who wouldn't have left. I mean, case in point, Dean Ambrose. He loves those, what do they call them, those death matches or whatever.
Yeah, yep.
And in my mind, and we even talked about how we think, like, it kind of correlates by the product going downhill when it switched to TVPG. And in my head, I don't think an AEW or any other promotion could have stood a chance with WWE that is TV14. And I still think back to today, if one day WWE just decided to pull the trigger and be like, you know what, enough of this BS. We're going to go back to TV 14. And you turned on Monday Night Raw and they had that old school Monday Night Raw intro from either the Attitude Era or the Ruthless Aggression Era. And I just think that they would completely hit the ground running and they would get a wave of people back. And I think they could bury a lower promotion like AEW. So do you think that any other promotion could stand a chance if WWE had stayed TV 14?
Oh, man, that's tough. Yeah, I think it would have been a lot more difficult for some company like AEW to pop up and be successful. Now, AEW is only 2 years old. It's still in its infancy. We'll see in the long haul whether or not they're true competition. But do I think that it would have stifled a lot more competition? Probably, because nobody did TV 14 better than WWE. They did it very well. And I know ECW, ECW, I think, was more one-dimensional, just straight violence. Everything was just violence. Yeah. It was just like almost backyard wrestling on TV. And, you know, I understand that some great stars came out of that, but to me it was just one-dimensional violence, where WWE actually had a good story going into it. It seemed like there was always a reason. The production value was a lot better than ECW was. So, yeah, I don't think that anybody would have been able to compete with WWE if they stayed TV 14. Now, if they just switched, like tomorrow, they switched like a light switch and they're back to TV 14. Number one, they would lose sponsors off the bat. No question they would lose sponsorships. Not all of them, but probably, you know, a significant number to hurt the bottom line. Gone. You'd have families who are probably a little bit turned off from it. But at the same time, you'd have a net gain because you bring back a whole bunch of interest. Even if the parents are telling the kids to turn off the damn TV, now the WWE is back to being the quote blood and guts company, which I always find funny when Vince tried to insult AEW a number of months ago that they're the blood and guts company, when wrestling was built on blood and guts, like even Vince McMahon's company, and what made him so damn successful in part during the 90s and or 2000s was the violence and the just edgy product. So it's just so, I guess, hypocritical of him to say that about AEW. But I also wonder where the hell the women would be, though, right? Like, where would the women's division be if it was still TV 14? I don't know if they would be the division they are today. Do you think that it would have negatively affected the women? Or maybe, given the culture that has evolved, I mean, outside of wrestling, like the world, and how things have moved up and progressed, do you still think the women could have overcome that TV 14 rating where it was all about pillow fights and sexualizing the women?
It's so crazy. I've been watching SmackDown from 2003 lately, and the main woman program on SmackDown was between Dawn Marie and Tori Wilson. And I don't know if you remember that, but Dawn Marie like marrying Tori Wilson's dad in like straight up lingerie in the middle of the ring, and like Tori Wilson's the big baby face because she got to be on Girls Gone Wild on pay-per-view, and it's just so cringeworthy. Like, oh my god, this was women's wrestling back then, or if you even want to call it wrestling. But to answer your question, I think that they can make it work even more, because in their own right, like, do you not think a lot of women, maybe Charlotte Flair, who grew up in the business, said like, man, I would have loved to get like an actual kick at the can of wrestling, not just playing like some soap opera on a wrestling show. Like, women were, aside from Trish, Lita, and maybe Jazz and Victoria, all the women were just a sideshow. That's what they were. But imagine that now the women could be actually part of the wrestling product, but in a TV 14 environment. And I know a lot of people just equate what WWE used to be like, oh, well, they were just all about like oppressing women and sexualizing women and this, that, and the other thing. And in a lot of ways, it was true. But on the other side of the argument, you could be like, well, Rock and Austin never really took part in that. Okay, well, like, The Rock used to hit on Lillian Garcia and whatnot, but I mean,
talk about when a struggle. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. or like, you talk about pie all the time.
Yeah. Oh god, yes.
But like, I mean, when The Rock and Austin were actually in a program together, or Rock and Triple H, or Triple H and Austin, it was just such a bitter personal rivalry, and it felt like real human beings hating each other and wanting to get at each other. And imagine you had the women able to do that. Like, I remember in 2016, Sasha and Charlotte got into a really personal rivalry, and they actually ended up inside Hell in a Cell. And I even remember they had like a Falls Count Anywhere match on Raw one night where like Sasha won by putting Charlotte Banks in like the bank statement in a guardrail or something. And I remember thinking to myself, like, imagine they were able to have a program, but in a TV-14 environment where they could say, like, you know what, you stupid B-I-T-C-H or whatever, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm trying to sell.
Yeah.
Or like just trying to be more of a mature type of argument because, or a type of beef between one another, because even now I think that in 2021 especially, that every big wrestler has to have some kind of a gimmick. They have to play a character. Like even Becky Lynch trying to be a bad guy now, like she has to wear these big jackets or whatever. And I just feel like, imagine like her and Bianca Belair could just have like a very real actual rivalry, you know what I mean? And I think that the women would have actually excelled possibly even further had they been able to wrestle, not do the other stuff, but actually just wrestle in a TV-14 environment.
Boy, yeah. I think here's the thing. It would have depended when the TV-14 switch happened. If they flipped the switch tomorrow, I think it could work awesomely. And it would also have to correspond with WWE starting to loosen up on their micro management of everything they do, which is really nearly impossible to do given the environment that we hear WWE has. So it would be a seismic shift that would have to happen. But you flip the switch, I think it would be massively successful right now for the women as well as the men. But you also wonder if they flip the switch. And in 2008, again, you didn't have nearly the roster you have now. So you wonder if those women that are here today still would have been in WWE, or at least, yeah, they would have been here if the TV-14 product had just continued. Would they have even been able to make it? Or would have the women just continued to be sexualized and doing Playboy pillow fights and bra and panties matches and live sex shows? And like what? I don't even know if it would be the same roster, and maybe the women are still being underutilized. I mean, it's possible. So I think it depends on when that switch had happened. And again, I think if it happened today, it would be freaking awesome to see, like a Hell in a Cell match, as you said, between Charlotte and Sasha Banks. And here's one thing I'd like them to not do anymore, and I haven't heard it in a while, is stop talking about making history in a match. Because everything's about making history instead of talking about winning the damn match or winning the championship. They always talk about, let's make history. We're going to make history. Again, that's a byproduct that you don't talk about. The announcers can talk about it. The fans can talk about it. You don't talk about it. It's like breaking the fourth wall, and it's telling the fans, we care about making history more than, you know, winning, more than giving you a competitive sports environment, right? Like, I don't like when they talk about making history. And you don't just hear from the women. A lot of times you hear it from the men too. And it's just, to me, it's a byproduct. It's something you don't, it's unspoken. It's almost like they're just telling us because we're too stupid to understand that it's making history, that they're going to drill it into your head that, guys, don't miss this. This is going to make history. It's going to make history. It's like when they tell you it's a WrestleMania moment. There's nothing like ruining a moment by telling you it's a moment, right? And that, I don't know, a little bit of a sidetrack there. So I'll stop.
Well, I guess as we kind of get to the end here, the one question would be is, A, do you think WWE would ever explore going back to TV-14? And B, if they would go back there, do you think it would just be like a meteoric rise back to where the product was 15, 20, 25 years ago?
Mm. So would they? My answer is probably no, but I wouldn't say never. As the old saying goes, never say never in this business. I wouldn't say never again, but boy, with the current climate of the environment, or in the environment, with the current climate of just society and how sensitive people seem to be about things, and all the relationships WWE has built with Susan G. Komen and Connor's Cure, and the anti-bullying campaign, it would be a hell of a contrast to go from that to all of a sudden they're back to late 90s TV. And essentially throwing all their relationships that they've built out the window. And again, they'd lose sponsorships. That third hour of Raw, maybe they'd eliminate that, which wouldn't be a bad thing. I think eliminating the third hour of Raw would be the best thing WWE could do. But they would lose a lot initially in their pockets. And I don't know if they'd be willing to do that with the gamble that they'd be able to bring back those 90s fans that maybe went away, the millions of them that went away after, say, the mid-2000s because the product went soft or whatever reason they had. Maybe star power declined, you know. So do I think they will? No, I'd give it like a 2% chance that we ever see TV-14 again. That said, it seems as if the definition of TV-PG has been expanded, where they can suddenly say the word, you know, BS. That's been something lately. That word has suddenly become okay in TV-PG land. So if they expand the definition of TV-PG, they could probably incorporate some of the TV-14 elements that were previously in that category. It all depends on how that category is defined and what things are allowable. So I don't think they're going to move from TV-PG, but do I think it would be a seismic or a meteoric rise back? No, not initially. However, if it was announced and promoted that WWE is going to be moving to TV-14, if Vince made that announcement or WWE put out a statement, people would be talking. People would be like, "Oh my God, what the hell is going on?" You know, and I think there'd be initial interest, and certainly over the first few shows, I think ratings would spike pretty damn significantly. Ultimately, flattening out to. I don't even know the number, but it always flattens out. There's initial massive interest. It flattens out, and then there's usually a slow decline. So I don't think it would probably, from a monetary perspective, be the smartest thing for them to do, even though fans like you and me and other Attitude and Ruthless Aggression era fans would love to see. Unfortunately, I don't see it. What about you?
Yeah, probably not. I kind of have gotten a bit of hope with AEW because I think Dean Ambrose or Jon Moxley said it that he believes that AEW's rise will probably relate to WWE having to push a better product. And I would argue that since AEW has come around, that aside from Roman Reigns, the product in WWE has really suffered. Like, I really think that WWE's product right now is borderline at an all-time low, aside from a select few programs. And I talk about stuff from, like, the mid to undercard are just really hard to watch, you know? And even especially what they did on SmackDown, I find they really gutted the roster to try and compensate for what happened over the past year. But, I mean, I hold out a little bit of hope, because I think AEW is really targeting the 18 to 40-year-old demographic. And the thing is that you'll always have guys like you and me who fall in that demographic and age group that will always watch WWE just because of our love for it the last 20, 25 years and because we do this show as well. But if you're just the average guy and you're flipping through these channels and you can watch Dynamite or Monday Night Raw, I think most guys in our age group will probably go err on the side of Dynamite just because it's a mature television product and you're watching stuff that is geared for your age group. It isn't geared for 10-year-olds. And then every once in a while they say the B word or the BS word. And then you're just like, oh, like that's a big deal now. Like, and I guess my hope is that AEW will push them because that they will start to see a lot of people losing, you know, interest in certain age groups. But at the end of the day, like you said, they have so many sponsorships that they would lose if they went back to PG-14. I guess for them, they could sacrifice to lose a lot of, you know, viewers. And the thing is now, and we talked about this on either last week or the week before, that with Peacock buying their network, they're paid up front for all of their pay-per-views. So they don't have to worry about, you know, a bunch of 20-year-olds getting together and pitching for a pay-per-view of buy at someone's house or whatnot. Or let's say a 16-year-old boy begging his dad to order pay-per-view, you know, or whatnot. You have a subscription and WWE's already paid up front for it. So I think the way that WWE has structured their company over the last decade or so, it has allowed for them to lose a lot of people who are in the 18 to 40-year-old demographic and focus solely on sponsorships, on having relationships with streaming services like Peacock, with Fox and whatnot, that I think that even though there's a small chance because of AEW's success, ultimately, WWE has set themselves up that they don't really have to compete directly with AEW for those specific demographic.
Definitely. And AEW is thriving on the fans that maybe have gone away, maybe not taking WWE's fans, but bringing back wrestling fans that left wrestling because WWE was putting out a product they didn't like. It wasn't tailor-made for their demographic. And WWE would say, well, we do a little bit of everything for everyone. But I would argue that's your problem, right? Like, you're not focusing on a specific demo. Therefore, you're really putting out a product for everyone and no one at the same time, where AEW is more focused. They brought TV 14 back, and they're allowed to be a lot more creatively free. They have a lot more space to work with within TV 14. So WWE is they'll never admit that they're in true competition with AEW, but they're starting to be forced to. And this coming Friday night, they're going to have wrestling going on for the same half hour that AEW Rampage is going on. They're calling it Supersize SmackDown, whatever the hell that means. I don't know. Maybe you get a fries and a drink with it. I have no idea why they're calling it Supersize SmackDown other than it's a half hour more. I get that. But I really think that this is a move that WWE will never, that they'll never move from. Stephanie McMahon would never allow it. My God, she doesn't even want to be associated with a wrestling company, much less them going back to their roots of being a professional wrestling, more violent, edgy product. I mean, my God, anybody who wants to have a little bit of vomit in your mouth, go look at her Instagram. You'd never know she's involved with a wrestling company ever. You'd think she's just kind of this independent business owner that's this feminist, you know, whatever. Like, she is just, I don't know. Her off-screen persona is, to me, it's almost running from your identity of being a wrestling company. But anyway, yeah, TV-14, not going to happen, I don't think, for WWE. They're going to continue to operate within their parameters of TVPG because of the fact that they have just too many relationships they've built over the last 13 years. They've got too much on the line with sponsors. They've built up too much goodwill with families that now understand that wrestling is not necessarily a blood, violence, and sex product. It's not anymore. It's more storyline, character driven. A lot of times eye rolling. Hell, look at Nikki Cross, Nikki ASH, like, for that kind of crap that rolls across your screen that probably some kids love, and it makes you and I want to vomit. That kind of stuff is, I think, here to stay. And I think it's probably going to get worse in terms of the hokiness. It's just the nature of PG and what WWE finds attractive, or they think the audience finds attractive. Honestly, the only seismic shift that could happen, and I'll close on this, is that Vince McMahon dies or gives up his reigns as CEO, and really the McMahon family, which, good luck on that, right? Like, I mean, Vince will find some way to, you know, cryogenically freeze himself and somehow operate the company from the other side of this world. I don't know how a change of that magnitude would happen without Vince McMahon, like, honestly, dying or somebody else buying the company.
Yeah, and on the note of Stephanie McMahon, I think someone should go back and show her some clips from when she was the SmackDown general manager and remind her that she's not so squeaky clean herself, because she had some pretty edgy moments herself, if I recall correctly.
Oh, very much. Yeah, John Cena, like I said. Yeah. I remember even them opening a SmackDown with the camera panning up her legs in a very, very short miniskirt. She was a sex symbol herself, and there's no way other way around it. She was at that time. So, yep.
And yeah, I guess, like you said, I've always wondered, like, maybe one day if, like, Triple H and Shawn Michaels got the reins to kind of really take over creative, if it would be different. But like you said, I'm not overly optimistic.
Yeah, I'm not either. This one is, I think, locked in for WWE. They know who they are. They're comfortable in their identity of TVPG product. And, yeah, we'll see, ultimately, who's going to be the victor here. So, all right, well, buddy, this has been a lot of fun talking about TVPG and TV14 and if we think it's going to come back and what it would have been like if WWE just remained and stayed the course of TV14. So a lot of fun. And one last thing, of course, if you have social media, what is that? Because I know people are interested. Sometimes they email me and I'm like, yeah, you just reach out to them here. What is that here? Where are you located?
Well, my handle for Instagram and Twitter is identical, ADeMarco25. And as always, you can catch me on, every Friday right on this platform with Rivalries. The most recent one being What was it? Oh yeah, HBK versus Kurt Angle from 2005, a damn good rivalry.
And one of the, I don't think enough people talk about their WrestleMania match. I think it's one of the more underappreciated matches. I mean, it comes up from time to time, but it could be easily in most people's top five matches at WrestleMania. It's so damn good. So,
oh, without a doubt, without a doubt.
God, so good. All right, well, guys, go check that out. Go, of course, you can check out Anthony every single Friday on Rivalries and hit him up on Twitter or Instagram. So thanks so much, man, and we'll be in touch in a week or so.
Yeah, man. Talk soon.
All right. Bye. Have you ever felt like there's something that you want to do, you should do, but you can't for some reason, and your inner voice is telling you, look, you gotta do it? That's how I felt with this podcast. I really did. I knew that I always wanted to podcast. I had a passion for wrestling, but there was something inside that was blocking me from doing it. Fear of failure, fear that I might sound bad on microphone. And there's all these things that I just knew that were my own creations, my own fears that were the problem. I was getting in my way. And I was doing that for years when I could have been doing what I love, had someone been there to help guide me through this. And that's where a life coach could have really been beneficial. And that's why I'd recommend a life coach to everyone listening, regardless of what you want to do in life, regardless of what your situation is, a life coach can be invaluable. And that's why I recommend Marcy Lesnick. She is a certified life empowerment coach, and she can help with things like sales mindset coaching, healthy relationship coaching, and much more. So go check out innerwarriorcoaching.biz. That's innerwarriorcoaching.biz, where you can get all this information and much more, including a video introduction of Marcy and how she can help you. So guys, don't wait another minute. Whatever's stopping you, don't let it stop you any further. Go to innerwarriorcoaching.biz.